Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brochos Daf Chof Gimel. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins from the first wide line, or if you prefer, 8 lines from the top of daf Chof Gimel. Before we learn the Gemara, we glance at the side and we notice our topic heading. And it reads as follows: Hanitzroch Linikovov, someone who has to relieve himself, go to the bathroom. Avol Yochol Lishoisbatzmo, but he can contain himself. Ma Dino Bitfila, what is the halacha regarding such a person and with regard to davening, with regard to prayer? Tonu Rabbonon, our Gemara begins with a Tanaic source. Hanitzroch Linikovov Al Yispalel, person who has to relieve himself. Nikovov literally are orifices. So someone needs to relieve himself. Ve'im hispalel, if he is in that state where he feels he needs to relieve himself, and he goes ahead and davens, tfiloso to'eva, his tfilah is viewed as an abomination. Omar Zvid, vitemo Rav Yehuda, we should point out, by the way, that there are two versions of this Gemara. You will see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a Roman numeral number 1, and a few lines later, there is a squiggle-underlined expression in the Gemara, Iko Damasni Law, Amas Nisa. A second version teaches the names Rav Zvid and Rav Yehuda regarding a Tanaic source. The contents of these two versions are basically the same, but as far as the way it's presented by way of what is contained in the Tanaic source and what is Amoraic, there is a difference. So in the first version, we say someone who needs to relieve himself and yet goes ahead and davens anyway, his prayer is viewed as an abomination. This reprehensible behavior is so only if he cannot contain himself. He feels a great urge to relieve himself, and yet he pushes in a davening. If he can, with a certain degree of comfort, contain himself, restrain himself, his prayer is considered acceptable. The ad kamo, what is the time frame that is regarded as able to contain himself? Omar Rav Sheshes, ad parsa. If he can contain himself for the amount of time it takes to walk 4 mil, which is roughly 4 kilometer, so that is okay. And that's around 72 minutes, assuming that each meal is 18 minutes. Iko demasni lo amasnisa. There are those that teach this within the context of a Tanaic source. In other words, the teaching before that of Rav Zvid, the Itam Rav Yehuda, that made a distinction between containing oneself and not, that's found here in this version within the Tanaic source itself. So that the Tanaic source would, in effect, here be a continuation of the previous source, which said that if one needs to relieve himself and he davens anyway, his tefillah is an abomination. So the source here would continue. Bamed v'morim k'shein yochol la'amud atzmo. When is it an abomination? When he cannot contain himself, and yet he presses in, he pushes in a tefillah. Avolim yochol la'amud al atzmo, tefillah so tefillah. This is exactly what Rav Zvid, who was an Amora, said in the first version. It's contained within the Tanaic source in this version. And it, as it says, that if one can contain himself, so his tefillah is acceptable. The ad kamo, and how long is that? Omar Rav Zvid, Omar Rav Yehuda, ad parsa. Here, Rav Zvid enters the picture, but only with regard to the time frame. The time frame being ad parsa, until if one can contain himself comfortably up till the amount of time to traverse four meal, namely one parsa, or 72 minutes, that's okay. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a new marking. There's a double underline with dots in it. And on the side, under our Mivneh heading, we noted Memros Shel Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omar Rav Yonasan. These are comments made in his name. The Gemara, Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omar Rav Yonasan, Hanitzrach Linukovov, Hareze Lo Yispalel. One who needs to relieve himself and the Gemara instructs him not to, or he shouldn't daven. Mishum Shenamar, he coined the Kras Elokecho Yisrael. The Pasuk says, prepare yourself. In other words, if you need to relieve yourself, so go ahead and relieve yourself. Prepare yourself. Cleanse yourself before greeting the Almighty. And in prayer, that is our understanding, it's our belief that you are standing without any interposition, any block, any mechitza between the person and the Almighty. No intermediaries. V'yomar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omer Rav Yonasan, Mai Dichtiv Shmor Raglecho Kasher Telech Al Beis Olakim. So Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni addresses this pasuk. He says, what is it teaching us? So there, he has a teaching that will follow. However, it's worth noting that there's a second teaching, and we've numbered them with 1 and 2. A number of lines later, you'll see a number 2. The second teaching actually is more related to the first statement of Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni dealing with Nitzrach Linukava. So ironically, Rav Shmuel Nachmeni is brought in as treating this second pasuk, but not tying it into the first statement of his. But Rav Ashi, Vitemar Rav Chanina, notice if we just skip for a moment and read what he says at that number 2, he says, Omar Shmor Nikovecho B'shal Sh'ata Oymed B'tfilu Lefonai, where that teaching is taking this pasuk of Shmor Atzmecho and Shmor Raglecho and saying, guard your feet, meaning your feet, or that which is between the feet, the orifices for relieving oneself. He should check them out before davening. In other words, make sure he doesn't need to relieve himself. We go back to the second comment of Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, and the pasuk in Koheles Perek Dalet Pasuk Yudzayin, Shmor Raglecho Shetelecho Beisolakim, what does that mean? Before we go further, really, we should note that there is a more complete quote of this that we've included on the side of the Gemara under Koheles Dalet Pasuk Yud Zayin, because the Gemara itself will break down these comments or these psuk, the teaching is in this pasuk. On the side, you'll notice we've written Shmor Raglucho Kasher Telecho Beisolakim VeKoroiv LeShmor Mites Haksilim Zevach Ki Einam Yoidim La'Asos Ra. That's the whole pasuk, and we'll see it broken down as we go on in the Gemara. So the point, so he says, Shmor Atzmecha in the Gemara, Shelo Techeta. That Shmor Raglecha means guard yourself that you shouldn't come to sin. The Techeta Have Korban Lefonai. And if you do sin, so then you'll have to bring a sacrifice to me. Now, what's the connection between Raglecha and this teaching, so that it's really saying guard yourself so that you don't sin and then have to walk to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Raglecha, walk with your feet to the Beis HaMikdash in order to bring a korban. The pasuk goes on to say v'koroiv lishmoya omar rova have a korov lishmo divrei chachamim, be close unto the teachings of the chachamim shim choitim. We know that if they sin, Mevi'im, Korban, Vos, and Tshuva, they bring sacrifices and do Tshuva. So, Karov L'Shmo, be close unto and hearken unto the ways of the sages. That when they sin, they bring a Korban and do penitence. Mites Haksilim Zevach, Altihi, that Mites Haksilim Zevach is again from the Pasuk, Altihi Kaksilim Shechoidu Mevi'im Korban, Ve'inois and Tshuva, and don't be like the fools that sin. They go through the ritual of bringing a sacrifice, but they don't do penitence. Ki enom yoidim la'asos ra. So this phrase is coming right off the pasuk dealing with the fools. But if you translate the pasuk literally, it says they don't know how to do evil. Well, ihochi tzadikim ninu. If you say they don't know how to do evil, then they are righteous and not fools. Elo al tihi kiksilim shechoitim umevim korban. Don't be like the fools that sin. Bring a korban. Ve'enam yoidim im al hatoiva heim mevim im al hara'ah heim mevim. And they don't know why they're bringing a korban. Are they bringing it for positive reasons or because they violated negative things. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu bein toiv l'ra einon mavchin en vein mavin gorben l'fonai. These people don't know how to distinguish between good and bad, and they bring sacrifices to me. So up till now is what we've done in the Gemara with regard to Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. We've taken, broken down this pasuk in Kehelas, Perek Dalet, pasuk Zayin, giving us his explanation of it. Now, number two, and this is where it ties into our Gemara, is Rav Ashi Vitemo, Rav Chanina Bar Papa. Rav Ashi, and the, some have as a version, Rav Chanina Bar Papa, says, Omar Shmor Nikovecha B'shal Shata Oymed B'tfila Lefonai. Make sure, check yourself out, check out your orifices, meaning check yourself out that you don't need to relieve yourself before standing in prayer before me. And that's the idea of Shmor Raglucha, the Raglucha being the legs, or maybe we say it's a euphemism for the area between the legs where the orifices of relief are located. Tonu Rabbonan. Before we go further, we have a topic heading, and we've also noted that this is a long topic. It goes till Omid Beis, and we've called it Tfilin Ubeis Hakisei, the issue of someone wearing his tfilin and his need to relieve himself. So, how should one behave? Omar Sotonu Rabbonan Hanifnas Ubeis Hakisei, one who needs to go to the Beis Hakisei is the bathroom, the facilities. Chayreitz Tfilo V'richuk Arba Amos V'nichnas. He removes the tefillin, choleitz, to remove one's tefillin at a distance of four amos before the Beis HaKisei, and then enters. A word about Beis HaKisei as far as the Gemara is concerned. In general, we're talking about outdoor areas designated for relieving oneself. We'll see in the Gemara in a moment the concept of a Beis HaKisei Kavua versus a Beis HaKisei Aroi. A Beis HaKisei Kavua is an established place. We can say it's a place that was fenced off and it was already used, and very likely there is solid waste in that area. And the Rashi describes it as being a surface facility, meaning there's no hole, there's no what we call a latrine or some type of hole dug into the ground for receiving these the waste. It's rather deposited right there on the surface of the field. You may call it primitive, so be it. But that is what we are describing. And even though one may say that they don't run into this too much, but even today when one is, let's say, on some type of excursion, a camping situation, or possible lack of other options situation, these halachas are alive and well today. We might as well point out, but it's beyond the purview of our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shir, that the halachic literature is rich with discussions concerning our indoor proper bathroom facilities that are, generally speaking, maintained with a great deal of cleanliness, and waste is not present in them on an ongoing basis, as opposed to what we're describing in the Gemara. But that is really part of a separate project of that needs research. For the time being, we continue with the general mindset or description that we presented now. So the Gemara says, Omar Rav Acha Bar Rav Huna, Omar Rav Sheshes Lo Shano Elo Beis HaKisei Kavua. This necessity of removing one's tefillin at a distance of four amas is when you're dealing with what's called a Beis HaKisei Kavua. The Rashi mentions Beis HaKisei Kavua. Rashi, you'll find a few lines above this point in the Rashi. He says, Sheyesh bo yitzoya, there is dung or waste over there, solid waste. V'chol botei kisois shegmor al pnei hasodeh heim belok chafir. All of the Beis HaKiseis in the Gemara are those that are ground level, surface level, without holes dug out. The Gemara continues, Avol Beis HaKisei Aroi. Aroi literally means something that's of a temporary nature, but Rashi says Aroi shezem maschu achshav lasosa Beis HaKisei. This is the first use of the area for relief. So that's a Beis HaKisei Aroi. He's now going there to an area that's being that's being used for the first time for relief, choylates the nifne le'altar. He removes his tefillin without a requirement of distancing himself for amos. He removes his tefillin, and Rashi adds here, holds them in his hands as he is relieving himself, and does so. So the Gemara goes on to say, Ukshu yoytse marchik dalan amos umanichom neshaso beis hakise kavua. And when he leaves, when he finishes his relieving himself, he then distances himself four amas and then places the tefillin, because at this point, now that it's been used, it is now a beis hakise kavua. The Gemara asks, Ibayalaho, imahu shi kones odom bitfilin the beis hakise kavua lahashtin mayim. Can a person, while wearing his tefillin, go to a beis hakise? Well, we just described that. And in our previous discussion, when we were describing the beis hakise kavua, we were talking about a situation of his going there to relieve himself from solid waste. So therefore, under no circumstances could he actually be wearing his tefillin. The only question was, at what point does he remove them in anticipation of going to relieve himself? So we said, if it was a beis hakise kavua, he would have to remove the tefillin four amos before that area. If it was the first time, so he could remove them there and relieve himself from solid waste, and then when he wants to put the tefillin back on, he has to distance up four amas. However, here we're dealing with a person who needs to relieve himself from liquid, in other words, urinate. And it just so happens that he's going to be urinating in an area that is already a beis hakise kavua. So the question is, can a person go to a beis hakise kavua and, while wearing his tefillin, urinate? And it's pointed out, Rashi points out, kishen barosho, with the tefillin on his head. As far as the tefillin shel yad is concerned, that may be a separate issue, and that is because there is a need, and the Gemara won't elaborate on it over here, but it does so in other places in the Shas, where a person has to wipe off of his feet any droplets so as to appear healthy and not a krushof. A person who has defects in that area of his anatomy is called a krus shavcha, and that does not enable him to urinate properly. So without getting into the details, tefillin shel yad might have a separate a concern around them. And we're saying that because Rashi mentioned specifically while he's wearing his tefillin shel rosh. So can he go to an area called a beis hakise kavua while wearing the tefillin of rosh and urinate? Ravino Shori, Rav Ado Bar Matono Osar. So we see two opinions on this matter. Osu Shalu of the Rava, they came and asked Rava, Omer Lahu, Osir Chayshino Shemo Yifne Bohen. Rava says, I forbid a person from wearing the tefillin while urinating, because he might come to yifne as to relieve himself of solid waste. Oftentimes, when a person starts the physical relief process through urination, he then discovers that he has to relieve himself from solid waste as well, and he'll end up doing so while wearing the tefillin if he doesn't take them off, even for the urination. The Amri law, another version of what Rava's objection is based on, is Shemo Yofiach Behem. If while urinating with the tefillin on his head, he might Yofiach, he may pass wind, or we sometimes call gas, and that's not allowed while wearing one's tefillin. Tanya Idach, we have another Tanaic source. The source is rather long. You can see it's a long framed section. Hanichnas lebeis hakise kavua choletz tfilov berichuk arba amos umanichon bechalon hasomuch lushus rabim v'nichnas. A person who is going to a beis hakise kavua removes his tefillin at a distance of four amos from that area, and then places the tefillin in the chalon, in a window. We're assuming we're dealing with a fenced area, and the fence might have windows in it. It might be a stone fence, a constructed fence, or it might even be something like what we call an outhouse, but it's not necessarily something dug in the ground, and there is a window facing the road. So he places the tefillin in that window and then enters the fenced area. So the tefillin are not in with him, but they're in the window facing the outside. Ukshu yoytze, when he finishes, marchik ba'amos u manichom, divrei Beis Shammai, he then distanced himself four amos from the base of kisei kavua and places his tefillin on again. Reis Hillel omrim oichson biyodo v'nichnas. He holds them in his hand and enters. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, there's a text of Gemara that we have in brackets because it's not accurate, and the Gemara fixes it, and after the brackets it would read, the proper reading is Oichson bevigdo ubiyado v'nichnas. Rabbi Akiva says, not like Beis Hillel says, just hold them in your hands, but you wrap them in your garment, in your robe, your cloak or whatever. You wrap them in a baggit, and then hold the wrapped tefillin in your hand and enter. We will read again now with the brackets. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Oichson bevigdo v'nichnas. Hold the tefillin in your garment. So the Gemara asks, bevigdo sagda, what, hold them in your garment? You just wrap the tefillin in your garment. Zimnin mishtali luhu v'nafli. They might just slip out and fall to the ground that way. Elo emo, the more accurate reading would be, Oichson bevigdo ubiyodo v'nichnas. Okay, so that's what he wraps them in his garment in and holds the wrapped thing in his wrapped tefillin in his hands in that fashion and enters. Umanichan b'chorim hasmuchan lebeis hakisei. There might be a sensible or better girsa, and that is involved by looking into the rif on daf yud dalet omer aleph in the daf yarif. But for the time being, we'll work with the text we have in front of us. The continuation is, and he places the tefillin b'chorin hasmuch lebeis hakisei, v'lo yanichan b'chorin hasmuch l'shus harabim. He should place the tefillin in holes in the wall facing the beis hakisei, facing inside, and not in holes facing the thoroughfare. This is different than that which we saw before, and the explanation why these differences will appear later in the Gemara, in the next Tanaic source, when it's actually a function of a historical development. So it's saying, the source is saying now to place them in holes facing the inside and not facing the thoroughfare. Shemal yitlu oisim oivri dvochim v'yovu lidei chashad. There's a fear that some passerby might take the tefillin, and that will lead to a situation of suspicion. What do we mean by that? A story is here to illustrate that. Umaisa b'talmid echot shiviach tefilov b'chorin esmuchim shus rabim. An incident happened with a student, an innocent fellow who put his tefillin, he needed to relieve himself, so he placed them in those holes facing the public thoroughfare. Ubosa zoyna achas, and a harlot passed by v'not lasan. She took the tefillin out of that compartment that was facing the public thoroughfare. Ubosa lebeis hamedr, she came to the yeshiva, the study hall where this particular student learned the Umra, and she announced, Re'u ma nosan li ploni bishori, look at what so-and-so gave me as a reward for my services of harlotry. Kevon Shishoma Oisa Talmud Kach, when he heard that he was being labeled as someone who hired the services of a zoyna, of a harlot, out of sheer embarrassment, he went up to the roof, jumped off, and died. He killed himself. And that moment, they said, "This is, we can't take chances ever again on this." And therefore, hold them in a garment and enter that way, as opposed to just depositing them on the outside. Wrap them in a garment, enter the basic kisei kavua that way, and it could be that, and then put them in a hole facing the inside. Tonu Rabbonan. Here we have a Tanaic source, and on the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh heading, we feature the triangle, which with the comment reading, Gimel Shlovim b'mikum hanochosim shel tefillin b'shal shenichnas abeis hakisei. Three stages in where to place the tefillin when relieving oneself. So we have the source that says, Barishonah hoyo manichin tefillin b'chor asvuchim b'beis hakisei. At first, people would place their tefillin in compartments near the relief facility. And then people, the mice or rats came and took them from there. As one knows, these kind of varmints will eat and consume anything. So originally people would bring the tefillin into the Beis HaKiseh Kavua and put them in holes, in compartments that were near that. And then they established they should be placed in chalonas, in windows, in compartments facing the public thoroughfare. And Rashi says that mice don't frequent areas that are traversed by the public. And therefore, so as far as the achborim are concerned, this would be a solution. But what happened? And passersby, like we saw in the story before, would come and take the tefillin. They then establish that a person, out of no choice, just holds them in his hand while he goes to relieve himself and relieves himself thusly while holding the tefillin. It could be, like we said before, hold them wrapped in a garment, which would be Rabbi Kiva's position, so that with this source in mind, that if you were to go back to the previous source, you would be able to make more sense of the different suggestions that we had seen there. The Gemara continues, Omar of Mesha bar Breda Rabbi Shub ben Levi, Halacha Goylulon Kamin Sefer V'Oichson Bimino Keneged Liboy. Golulon means to wrap them in the tefillin straps, wrapping them around and around like a scroll is wrapped around the poles that support it, and hold them in your right hand. And Rashi adds here, Ochsam Bimino, hold them in your right hand, not wrapped in a garment, so as to guarantee, to make sure there will be no falling. Omar Rav Yosef Bar Minyumi, Omar Rav Nachman Uvachilo, Tehei Ritsua Yoitzis Mitachas Yodo Tefach. When we speak about the tefillin wrapped up in their straps, one must make sure that the straps are totally wound around the tefillin so that you don't have a tefach of strap exposed. The straps also, as Rashi says, have holiness to them, and we're dealing with the tefillin right now wrapped in straps and contained in your hand while you're in the Beis HaKiseh Kavua, not a very holy location. So they have to be contained and protected without exposure. It might be pointed out for those of you who are familiar with contemporary tefillin that it's hard to imagine some of our contemporary tefillin, or rather large entities, being contained within your hand and nothing exposed. Here you can see that Gemara is very concerned that there shouldn't even be a tefach of strap hanging loose. From a technical standpoint, it's filling in the time of the Gemara, and you see many references to them that they were very, very small, and you could actually contain them within your closed hand without anything being exposed. That's just a technical point to make some of these descriptions a little more understandable. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar of Yankiv Bar Acha, Omar of Yisera, Lo Shonu El Shiesh Sheis Biyom Lelovshon. That which we've learned till now is that we're talking about someone taking off the tefillin and holding them while he relieves himself. This is all because we're talking about there's more daytime after he finishes relieving himself to put the tefillin back on. And it also might be worth noting that in the time of the Gemara, it was quite common for people to wear their tefillin all day. As far as contemporary practice is concerned, that you do not find it in very common that people would wear their tefillin all day, that's a separate discussion. But to appreciate the Gemara, it might be helpful to bear in mind what we said. The Gemara continues, Avol, Ein Sheyus Biyom Lelovshon, if there isn't time left in the day. In other words, he was wearing the tefillin all day and needed to relieve himself toward the end of the day, and nighttime is not a time for putting on tefillin. So once he's taken the tefillin off and to relieve himself, and there isn't much time left to put them back, there isn't time of day to put them back on, so the practice regarding someone who goes to relieve himself is as follows. Oise lohen kemin kis tefach umanichon. He should make a pouch whose interior is a handbreadth, and that would be a that would be a sort of container for the tefillin to protect them from the Beis HaKisa environment, and he places them in there, in that kis, in that pouch. As we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice a marking, the double underline under the Mivneh heading. We note these are Memros Shel Rabo Bar Bar Chana Hakshurois, the Tefillin Ubi Sakise comments that he makes that are relevant to these topics of Tefillin and the facilities. Omar Rabo Bar Bar Chana Rabbi Yochanan By Yoim Goyulon Kemin Sefer Omenicha Miyado Keneged Libo. If he needs to relieve himself by day, so he wraps them as a scroll, wraps them in their straps, and holds them to, against his heart, against his chest. This is just what we saw before that was taught by Rabbi Zeira. Omar Abaye, lo shanu, the requirement of the kiss of the pouch having that dimension of a tefach, that is taught Elo Bekli Shukelion. That's a formal tefillin bag. Avol Bekli She'enoi Kelion, but a random bag that's not its official, tefillin bag. Afilu Pochos Mitefach. We will allow the tefillin to be placed in such a container, even if it's less than a tefach. Amar Marzutra Vitemo Rav Ashi Teida. You should know that this concept of protection of shielding exists even when you're dealing with something less than a tefach. Teda sherei pachin ktana matzil bo elameis. Pachin are little flasks that may contain food. If they are sealed with what's called a tzomid posil, a clay seal, even though they're very small and they're less than a tefach in volume, they are chotzeitz. They protect against the defilement from the dead when they are in the same room. So we see this concept of protection, of shielding from undesirable environments, whether it be Tumas Meis or Beis HaKisei Kavua, even if the container is less than a handbreadth in volume. We have a new marking, in addition to the double underline, which helps tie this into the previous marking of comments made by Rabo Barachana. We also have a bow tie, and the reason for this is that we have Shnei Maisim Doimin, we've mentioned on the side, two similar incidents. The Omar Rabo Barachana, we should say there's one over here, and the next one is on Omid Beis, the top line. The Omar Rabo Barachana, Kihave Azlinon Basrei de Rabbi Yochanan, when I was following Rabbi Yochanan, Kihave Boy Le Mail, basically is when he needed to enter the facilities, Kihave Nokit Sifra Dagadato, Have Yohiv Lon. If he had been holding a sefer, a scroll, a book of Agodois, we'll categorize this in the general realm of Torah scrolls, he would give it Torah, meaning not a sefer Torah, but divrei Torah, words of Torah that were written down in the time of the Gemara. It might just be pointed out parenthetically that it wasn't that common to have oral Torah written in scroll or in book form, but from time to time it did happen, and there are other Gemaras in the Shas that touch on that topic. So the example cited here is he was holding a sefer of Agrodos, and he would give that to us in order to hold while he goes to relieve himself. You might say ironically, because here tefillin are probably of a higher level, they are definitely of a higher level of Kedusha than a Sefer Agoda, that he wouldn't give to us. Omar Hoyo Visharunhu Rabbanan. Since there is a rabbinic allowance, they allowed us to enter the facilities with the aforementioned restrictions, but there is a possibility of entering the facilities with the tefillin, holding the tefillin. Of course, holding them, they're covered, but you can enter with the tefillin. So Rabbo Bar Bar Chana calculated and said, Min Tiron. Well, they'll watch me, they'll guard me. Rashi at the top says, Min Tiron, Yishmeruni. I'm going to take the tefillin in with me, and they will in turn guard me from negative spiritual forces, from demonic forces. And the issue of demonic forces in the context of bathrooms there are other references in the Shas to this particular matter. So he has a basis for concern, and therefore he didn't give us, says the speaker in the story, he did not give us the tefillin to hold while he went in to relieve himself. And now a similar incident. When we were following Rav Nachman, when he was holding a sefer of Agoda, he would give it to us in order to hold while he relieved himself. When he was holding tefillin, he wouldn't give that to us. Since the rabbis made an allowance for carrying the tefillin into the bathroom, so I'm going to keep them with me so that they guard me. Tonu Rabbonan. We should point out that we're here on Omid Beis, four lines from the top. Tonu Rabbonan. Lo yoichas odom tefillin biyado v'sefer Torah b'zroah v'yispalel. In order for a person to have proper concentration during his Shmoneh Esrei, a person is instructed not to hold tefillin in his hands while he's davening Shmoneh Esrei, nor should he hold a sefer Torah in his arms. V'lo yashtin bohen mayim, nor should he urinate with them in his hands. V'lo yishan bohen, and here we're talking about tefillin. He shouldn't sleep with his tefillin on. Lo shinas keva, v'lo shinas aroi. Not a full sleep, nor even a temporary sleep. Shinas aroi is like person nodding off. The Rashi points out on the second line from the top, v'lo yishan bohen, Shema Yofiach. He might pass wind. The Gura, the Vilna Goyin, in his comments here, says Shema Yapil. They might fall. It would seem to me that there are two different things alluded to over here. The Rashi that says he might pass wind, that would be a problem if he's actually wearing the tefillin, and passing wind is something that is considered reprehensible for one wearing tefillin. The Gra would seem to be describing, in his fear of it might fall, is someone who is not wearing the tefillin, but he's rather holding the tefillin, so he shouldn't hold the tefillin and sleep while holding them, because that a person his muscles relax and he'll end up dropping the tefillin in such a situation. The Gemara continues. Omar Shmuel, sakin umoy suka'ora v'kikar, a knife, cash, a bowl, and a loaf of bread. Hare elu kayotze bohen. These are like the regarding tefillah, regarding Shmoneh Esrei, just like we said, not to hold tefillin or a sefer Torah while davening Shmoneh Esrei. You shouldn't hold these things either, because of the fear that he won't be able to concentrate, because he's afraid the knife might fall and hurt him, the car, the bowl might spill, its contents might spill out, the money might get lost, and the loaf of bread by falling will become dirty. So all of these are on his mind. He'll be unable to fully concentrate during his Shmoneh Esrei. Omar Rova Omar of Sheshes, Les Hilchisa Ki Ha Masnisa. Rova declares that the halacha is not to follow the Tanaic source that said Lo Yashtin Bohem, the source that we had just a couple lines up that we dashed underline. Why not? Why is the halacha not like that? De Beis Shammai Hi. It is in accordance with Beis Shammai. And we know that halacha does not follow Beis Shammai's rulings. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a tat nosei, a subtopic, and we've called this Shitas Beis Hillel Biyachas Letfilin Ubeis Hakisei Aroi. We're going to be spending time focusing on Beis Hillel Shita. We might say Beis Hillel Shita as well, with regard to a Beis Tefillin and Beis Hakisei Aroi. So we continue in the Gemara, the E Beis Hillel. If the source were thought to be authored by Beis Hillel, Hashta Beis Hakisei Kavua Shori. We saw that he allowed one entering a Beis Hakisei Kavua while holding the Tefillin in his hand. Beis Hakisei Aroi Mibaya. Would there be any question about holding holding tefillin in for yashtin is to urinate, which is associated with a beis hakisei aroi? the Rashi says on the fourth line from the top, he says, Beis HaKisa Aroi, Kegon Lahashtin, Shein Odom Hoidich Bishvilan Beis HaKisa. Lahashtin is to urinate. A person doesn't go out of his way to a formal Beis HaKisa. Vapamazos Nasa Mokum Hazeh Beis HaKisa Tchila. And this is going to be, his urination will be the first use of the area for relief. So that's a Beis HaKisa Aroi. So that the source above couldn't be according to Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel would not, after having allowed holding tefillin in a Beis HaKisei Kavua like we saw on Omed Aleph, he certainly would allow holding the tefillin for urination, which is in effect a Beis HaKisei Aroi, which is a less significant area. Meisvei, the Gemara raises an objection from a Tanaic source, and we're going to point out ahead of time, this Tanaic source is very vague, and the Gemara will have a number of stages in order to figure out what this source is saying. And we have under our Mivneh heading in the margin, the triangle is featured, and we've written Shlovim Behavonas Braisa, Dekotoni Dvarm Shitarti, etc. These are stages in trying to understand this Tanaic source. Shlav Echad, the first stage, Kusha al Rav, will be used to raise a question on Rava. Shlovim Sheni Ushlishi, Nisyonis Lahazbra Moker Boifen Acher, Shalom Ahave Bayel Rava. Stages 2 and 3 in this Gemara will be alternative explanations of the source, which won't present the source as a problem for Rava. However, Shlav Ravi, the fourth stage, Chozrim Lahakshus HaRava, we're going to reinstate the question and eventually repudiation or rejection of Rava. So we turn back to the Gemara. After hearing Rava say that Beis Hillel would certainly allow the holding of tefillin in a Beis HaKisei Aroi, we ask a question, Meisvei, Dvarim Shitarti Loch Kan, Osarti Loch Kan. That which I allowed here, and the trick in understanding this Gemara is to have flexibility, meaning we're going to give a pshat now, but we're going to change this pshat later as we go on in the Gemara. So for right now, when it says Dvarim Shitarti Loch Kan, that which I allow you here in a Beis HaKisei Kavua, Asarti Loch Kan, I aser you in the Aroi, in the temporary or the unused Beis HaKisei. My love, tefillin. Are we not talking about tefillin? E Amris Bishlomo Beis Hillel, if you say this is in accordance with Beis Hillel, it would read as follows. Hitarti loch kan kavua, I allowed you holding the tefillin in a Beis HaKisei kavua, that we saw in Omed Aleph. Osarti loch kan, we've dashed on the line osarti, and dashed on the line that equals Beis HaKisei Aroi. I aser holding the tefillin while going to Yashkin Mayim in a Beis HaKisei Aroi. And that is unlike Rava. So this is where this is the heart of the question. The following the dashed underline, we come out saying Osarti Beis HaKisei Aroi. What did Rava say? Rava said that the source above, which asers Beis HaKisei Aroi, is only Beis Shammai, because Beis Hillel would certainly allow it. Here we're saying that Beis Hillel would not allow it. And this can be understood only if we set this Hesber that we're giving right now for this source will make sense only if you set it up like Beis Hillel. It can't read like Beis Shammai, as the Gemara goes on to say, Elo I Amris Beis Shammai. If you were to say the source of Devarim Shitarti is in accordance with Beis Shammai, Halo Sharu Velo Midi, Beis Shammai has no allowances with regard to a Beis HaKisei Kavua, so that you wouldn't be able to read Dvarim Shitarti Loch Kan, things that I have allowed for you here, and assuming that Kan means a Beis HaKisei Kavua. This source could make sense only according to Beis Hillel, and the result of this reading is that tefillin will be allowed in a Beis HaKisei Kavua, and ironically not allowed in a Beis HaKisei Aroi. That presents a problem for Rava, because Rava wants to say that according to Beis Hillel, Beis HaKisei Aroi is a place that one would be allowed to hold the tefillin. Here the Gemara has a second approach to deflect the question. Ki Tanyo Hahi, the source of Devorim Shitarti Loch, the vague source, the Inyan Tefach Utfochayim. It is a reference to Tefach, one hand breath, Tefachaim, two hand breaths. This has to do, first of all, let's say, it has nothing to do with tefillin. That's the first thing to note. So by derailing the source from the context of tefillin, we thereby deflect the question on Rava. So Rava can maintain his position that tefillin being held while urinating would be okay. What is the source? Now, as we said, stages 2 and 3 of this Gemara, before we get to stage 4, are getting off the topic of tefillin and Beis HaKiseh. But here, it deals with amount of body that is allowed to be exposed when relieving oneself. Tefach, one hand breath, two hand breaths. To explain this, we go on in the Gemara, and then we'll try to tie things together. The Toni Chada, one source says, Kshunifne, when a person relieves himself, Megal Achrov Tefach, Ulefonov Tfochayim. When one relieves himself from solid waste, he is Megala, he exposes his Achrov, his posterior, one Tefach, and in front of him, two Tfochim. We should just note in general that Judaism strives for the exercise of modesty. The less body exposure that can be the less is better. The less exposure, the better. That's how to look at things here and in general. So that the less exposed during relief, the better. So when the first source says one can expose posteriorly one tefach and in front two tefachim. And the other source says, the achrov, his back, in other words, the posterior one tefach exposure, and in front, nothing. My love, how are we to understand this? Both are referring to a male, veloy kashya, and there is no contradiction between the two sources. Kan ligadoylim, kan liktanim. Gdolim is a reference to solid waste, and ketanim is a reference to urine. So, source number two, which says exposure, back exposure, one tefach, and front, nothing, that's because this man is relieving himself from solid waste. There's no need to expose his front side. Kan liktanim, the first source, is talking about someone urinating. Vetispera, Biktanim, if source 1 is talking about ketanim, la'achrov tefach lomali, why is there any need for a posterior exposure whatsoever? But before we go on, what was the attempt of the Gemara in presenting these two sources? We were trying to use this information for understanding the vague source on the second wide line that read Dvarim Shitarti Loch Kan Osati Loch Kan. What we were supposed to think at that point, and Rashi explains all of this, is that as follows: Dvarim Shitarti Loch, that which I allow in a Beis HaKiseh Aroi, that I aser you in a Beis HaKiseh Kavua, meaning that for urination, we said, that is, of course, in our stage 2 of the Gemara, for urination, we allowed more exposure. That's Hitarti Loch, Mebeis HaKiseh Aroi. Aroi is a place for urination, where a person doesn't trouble himself to go to a Beis HaKiseh Kavua. So we said there, we allowed more exposure than Osati Loch in the Beis HaKiseh Kavua, where we saw that for Gedolim, that was source number 2, we allowed less exposure. Once again, Dvarim Shitarti Loch Kan, that which I allowed, namely more exposure for in a Beis HaKiseh Aroi, I aser in a Beis HaKiseh Kavua for the solid waste, where there was less exposure permitted. This explanation, as we saw in the Gemara, ran onto hard times, because explaining source 1 as referring to urination, we didn't understand why there's any need for a posterior exposure of body whatsoever. So we go on to stage 3. Ela idi v'idi b'gedoylim. Both of these sources that we numbered 1 and 2 are references to solid waste. V'lo kashya, ha be'ish, ha be'isha. Source 1, which allows for more exposure, that is a male who's relieving himself, solid waste, and ha be'isha, where there was less exposure allowed, only posterior exposure was allowed, that's because we're dealing with a female with her unique anatomy, different than that of a male. Now, this information we would then read back into the source on the second wide line, and it would essentially say that which I allow by a man, namely I allow more exposure by a man, I aser by the woman. We limit the amount of exposure by a woman. The Gemara asks, "E hachi, if we are to adopt this approach, ha dekatani alah." There's another Tanaic source that is attached, that is the continuation of the vague source above of Devarim, Shitarti Lokan, Asati Lokan. There is a source which reads, Zehu kal v'chomer sheino lov tshuva. This is a kal v'chomer that has no response to it. My ain olav tshuva. What do you mean that there's no response to it? It's this expression of zel kal v'chomer shein olav tshuva. It conveys the idea that the source is simply saying something that runs against logic. The Rashi says ha dekatani alah b'seifa dida, the seifa of the source of dvorim shitarti. It says in the Sefer, Zehu kal v'chomer shein olav tshuva, b'dover hazeh yesh l'cha lashiveini kal v'chomer. You could have responded to me kal v'chomer logic, v'ein li olav tshuva lahachzir loch, and I have no means of responding to you. Rashi goes on, E amris bishlamo betfilin komar, if you were to say like we said originally, uchida moronu beis hillel hi, like we did in stage one, posing it as a challenge to Rava and say that the source is according to beis hillel, hainu dekotoni diyesh kan lahakshus kal v'chomer. There was room to repudiate the teaching through kal v'chomer as follows. Hashto beis hakise kavua shori. If it were so that the tefillin holding is allowed in a beis hakise kavua, beis hakise aroi mipaya, would there be any need to say that it's allowed in a beis hakise aroi? That's a kal v'chomer. And if we were to say that, v'ein li tshuva lashivcha alav, and I would have no response to that. In other words, that would be a very good point, and I would be left hanging. Why should we forbid the tefillin holding in a beis hakise aroi? If you're going to read this source as we are doing now regarding body exposure, my kal v'chomer yesh lahakshos kan. What's the kal v'chomer logic that could be raised in opposition to the way we are describing things? Namely, that which I allow by a man, more body exposure, I don't allow by the woman. That's a very meaningful, that's a very sane, logical thing to say. There's no reason to raise an objection to that. The Gemara, let's read this line again in the Gemara. We go back to the line where there's a triangle at the beginning of line, triangle number 3. Toward the end of the line, we are asking on this explanation, Ihochi ha dekotani alah zehu kal v'chomer shein olav tshuva, my ein olav tshuva. What do you mean by that? Darka demilsa hochi isa. That's the way of people. That's normal. It's very understandable that because of the anatomical differences, a man is entitled to, when he is going to relieve himself for solid waste, he has to expose more of his body, namely front and back, whereas a woman is going to expose only the back. Elo lav tefillin. So rather, we're going to go back to the drawing board, we've got the stage one, and say that the source is referring to tefillin, and it's telling you things that I allow you in a Beis HaKiseh Kavua, namely the holding of the tefillin, I do not allow in a Beis HaKiseh Arui, Utyufta the Rava Omer Rav Sheshes, and this would be a repudiation of what Rava said in the name of Rav Sheshes. Tyufta, it is a full refutation. The Gemara asks, Mikol Mokom Kashya, but still the question remains. Hashta Beis HaKiseh Kavua Shori, Beis HaKiseh Roy Lo Kol Shekein. If it's allowed in a Beis HaKiseh Kavua, which is a filthier place, and yet one is allowed to hold his tefillin while going there to relieve himself, in a Beis HaKiseh Aroy situation, all the more so. Hochi Ka'omar, thusly, we are to explain. Beis HaKiseh Kavua Daleko Nitzotzos Shori, where a person goes to relieve himself from solid waste, and there's no droplets that fall to his feet. Nitzotzos would be droplets of urine that fall to his feet. Therefore, he can hold his tefillin in one hand, and he relieves himself, and we're not afraid of his using, of holding his tefillin and wiping himself, wiping his legs clean of the droplets. Beis HaKiseh Aroy, the Iko Nitzotzos Asri, the Beis HaKiseh Aroy, which represents a place of urination, and as we said before, it's important for a man, after urinating, to make sure that his feet are clean, are free of droplets, because otherwise that would, if a person, after relieving himself, would appear in public with droplets of urine on his legs, people would think that he's a Krus Shafcha, someone who has this anatomical defect in that area of the male anatomy, which if a person really had that, so in addition to his inability to urinate properly, he also is incapable of procreation. And imagine people seeing a person with droplets of urine on his feet, thinking that he's a Krus Shofcha, and then wondering where does this man have his children. In the event that you're talking about someone with children, people will conclude that his children are mamzerim because his wife was behaving mischievously with other men, producing the children, because her husband, is a Krus Shofcha. He couldn't reproduce. Hence, to preempt all of this fear and suspicion, we tell a person to make sure his feet are clean. Therefore, we don't want him holding tefillin after urinating. We don't want him holding them in his hands because he may, while holding his tefillin, use that same hand to wipe his feet clean from the nitzotzos. The Gemara asks, after hearing this very logical distinction made between a Beis HaKiseh Kavua and a Beis HaKiseh Aroy, and as we say, a logical distinction, we then understand why in the Beis HaKiseh Kavua we can afford to allow a person to hold the tefillin and not in the Beis HaKiseh Aroy. Hihachi amai ein olav tshuva. Why would the Kal v'chomer that one would have raised as an objection not have a tshuva, a response? Tshuva mal yasi, this is a very fine response. Granted, you would have wanted to say, if we're going to allow it a Beis HaKiseh Kavua, the holding of the tefillin, certainly we'll allow it in a Beis HaKiseh Aroy. We say no, in the Beis HaKiseh Kavua there's no chashash nitzotzos, in the Beis HaKiseh Aroy there is a chashash nitzotzos. That's a wonderful response. So why the problem? Why did the source itself say a few lines above Zeo Kal v'chomer she'ein olav tshuva when you see there is a response? The Gemara answers, Hochi ka'omar. Ha milsa teisi lo b'toras taimo. This matter concerning the holding of tefillin in Beis HaKiseh Kavua and not holding them in Beis HaKiseh Aroy, presented with reasons, presented at the outset with time, with reasons. The lo teisi lo b'kal v'chomer. And don't attempt to arrive at your conclusions through a kal v'chomer. The e asya lo b'toras kal v'chomer. If you try to employ kal v'chomer logic, zehu kal v'chomer she'ein olav tshuva. You will end up with a kal v'chomer that has no response to it. So we're telling you, don't present it as a kal v'chomer, but present it as a logical point. Let us look in the Rashi on this point in the Gemara. Rashi, we're looking at on the third line under the Gemara text, Ha milsa de tefillin de base akise a roivik avua tesi levatoras taimo lahatir the base akise kavua es ha osur the base akise roi to allow in a base akise kavua that which would be forbidden in a base akise roi mishum taimo resources present this information with the explanation built in the explanation of the droplets the asil levatoras kavuchomer lomar din hu lahokel the base akise roi Kal, to suggest that in a base akise aroi one should be lenient. Ula hachmir bebase akise kavua, and exercise stringency in a base akise kavua chomor, which is a chomor area. The chomor meaning a stringent, a stricter area because of its greater filth. The lo tazel boser taima or boser chomor vekula, and don't follow, and not following has explanations, but following leniency and strictness. Ve'anan avdinon ibcha, and we in fact would practice the opposite. In other words, we practice leniency in the kavua and stringency in the aroi. Ein li olav ma'ala hashivcha, I have no explanation for our behavior. I would have really no precedent for responding by finding an area of stringency in a beis akise aroi which you don't find a beis akise kavua. If I would, she'uchal ashivcha, that I would then be able to respond, im hitarti b'kavua shu'kal b'dover ploni, if I allow the holding of tefillin beis akise kavua, which has an area of leniency, natir b'shel aroi shu'chamur ba, would I then assume that we will allow in a beis akise aroi, which has an element of stringency? Well, we simply don't find such an example. We don't find an area where there is stringency in aroi and leniency in kavua that I would be able to knock out the kal b'chomer. Avol taimo iko lemai davdinon. But if you introduce the issue of reason and explanation, there is an explanation for our behavior that we're machmir in aroi and mekil in kavua. The hochiko nitzaitzus in the aroi, there's the droplet consideration because that was a place used for urination. V'ha'cha, in the basic isik kavua leka, there is no nitzosos problem. V'dovar zeh lav kal v'chomer lo kal v'lo chomer. This is not an issue of stringency versus leniency. It has nothing to do with that. Our practice is based simply on the reason that we just offered. Turn back to the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Haroitza Likones Lesudas Keva, Mahalech Asora Pomim Arba Amois. If a person is about to start a meal, a formal established meal, not just snacking on something, but a Sudas Keva, Rashi mentions that it's embarrassing for a person in the middle of a meal to excuse himself, to relieve himself, especially when it comes to issue of solid waste. So one who is about to enter a meal, a piece of advice is shared by the Gemara with us. Mahalech hasor pa'amim dalet amos, person should, in order to, we'll say, activate the defecation system, he should loosen his body, for lack of better expression, we'll say loosen his body, by walking. And Rashi says this walking forces through his digestive system, the waste forces it out. So the advice is, Mahalech Asor Pomim Dalet Amos, he should walk 4 Amos 10 times, oh, Dalet Pomim Eser Amos, or 4 times 10 Amos, Vifne, relieve himself, Yachakav Nichlas, and then enter the meal. Omer Vitzchok, Anichlas Lesudas Keva, Choletz Tfilov, Yachakach Nichlas. A separate halacha, but concerning entering a meal, with regard to tefillin, he should remove his tefillin before starting the meal. So he removes his tefillin and then enters the meal. Upliga de Rabbi Chia, this is at odds or against Rabbi Chia. De Rabbi Chia, manichon al shulchano v'chein hodur lo. He says that one doesn't have to remove his tefillin before getting to the meal, but when he gets to the meal, he removes his tefillin and places them on the table, and this is fitting. This is hodor, means this is his glorification, but it's fitting in what sense? And Rashi explains, shiu mizumonim lo v'yaz v'nichum b'shas brocha, that when it comes to the time for making the brocha, the birchas hamazon, he will be able to don his tefillin. So they're right there, as opposed to what the source recommended, was to remove them before entering the area of the meal. The Gemara continues, V'ad emas, when we speak about the tefillin being removed for a person during the meal, until when? Omer of Nachman bar Yitzchok ad zman brocha, until the time for Birchas HaMazon, at which point he would put his tefillin back on. It's pointed out that going to eating an established meal, a fixed meal, with tefillin on would be something not proper, because there's a fear of shichrus, of drunkenness, at such a time. People drink inebriating beverages at the time of Sudas Keva. Continuing in the Gemara, Toni Chada, one source says, before we go on in the Gemara, we should just note structurally that we have a slash mark indicating that that which follows is a new topic, and under our Nosei heading, Tik HaTfilin, the case or the sack for Tfilin, Tsor Be Velo Azmane. Let's say he used it for coins without having reserved or designated, Azmine designated, the sack for the use of tefillin. This sugya is associated with another well-known sugya in the Gemara called Hazmona Milsahi. Dedication or designation for holy use is of itself significance and could be binding. We'll see this as we go on in the Gemara. Tony Chada, one source, teaches, Tzor Odom Tfiliv Im Ma'isa Ba'far Ksuso. A person can wrap together his tefillin with cash in this Afar Ksuso, in this particular cloth or material. Rashi says Afar Ksuso is Suda Shirosh's head turban. The Rashi adds, interestingly, im ma'oisov, Rashi says four lines from the bottom, lo im ha'mois, mamash, not literally with the cash, elo shnei shorim ze etzel ze. The head turban, it's a wide, long piece of material, so you would wrap the cash in one knot and the tefillin in another knot. The Gemara continues, v'tanyo idoch lo yotzur. Another source says that one is not allowed to do this. And the Gemara says, lo kasha, there's no contradiction between these two sources. Ha de azmane, ha de lo azmane. The source that says not to do it, that's because he designated it, this afar ksuso, for the tefillin. In the case that he didn't designate it, so then there is no restriction of using the same fabric, the same cloth, for both the kash and the tefillin. We're dealing, of course, with the, we'll call it the intersection of the holy with the mundane. The Omar Rav Chisda, Hai Sudra, the tefillin, a sudar, the cloth that he uses to contain, to hold his tefillin, the Azmene Lemeitzar Bei Tefillin, he designated the cloth for his tefillin. Tzor Bei Tefillin, Osur Lemeitzar Bei Pshiti. If he designated it, and with our markings, we were trying to be precise here in noting, under Roman numeral number 1, we have designation, and we call that Aleph, plus use of it for tefillin. Designation plus tefillin use, also lemeitzar v'pshiti. At that point, because not only did he designate it, but he actually used it for the tefillin, it becomes forbidden to use it for pshiti, for coins. Roman numeral number 2, azmine velotzor be, let's say there was designation without use of tefillin. Tzor be velo azmine, or he used it for tefillin without designating it for the tefillin. Shori lemeitzar be zuzi. Then the use for money remains allowed. So Rav Chisda, as we will go on in the Gemara, Rav Chisda represents an opinion of leniency, and that the only time the cloth becomes restricted for the use of the mundane, for holding cash, is only if the cloth was designated and used for the holy. Continuing in the Gemara, Ula Abaye Domar Hazmona Milsi, according to Abaye, that places emphasis or a premium on mere designation, Azmane Afagav Delot Sorbe, and we've dashed underlined Afagav Delot Sorbe, showing or highlighting this is the point of difference between Abaye and Rav Chisda. According to Abaye, the mere designation for the holy, for the tefillin, even if it wasn't used for the tefillin, it will still be usur, prohibited for using it for cash. Tzor bay, if he used the cloth for tefillin. Iazmine osir, if it was also designated, then it will be usur for the cash. Ilo azmine, if it wasn't designated, it was simply used for the tefillin without a prior designation, that will not restrict it for use with cash. Domine Rav Yosef Breid Rav Nechunya Me Rav Yehuda Mao Shianiach Odom Tfilov Tachas Mirashosov. This is a new discussion, hence we have a slash mark that appears. And this sugya deals with the placing of tefillin when one is not wearing it, in his bed, on his bed, under his pillow, and related matters. So he asks, Rav Yosef asks of Rav Yehuda, Mao shenich odem tefilov tachas mirashosov. Can a person place his tefillin under his head? So in effect, his head will be lying on top of the tefillin. Tachas marglosov lo ko mibayali shenoy gwen mina bizon, to place them under his feet, that is not a question. That's considered a defaming of the tefillin, a bizoyon, we call it defaming, for lack of better expression. That is sufficient for understanding what a bizoyun is. Ki ko mibayali, when my question arises, is tachas mirashosov mai, what about under my head? Omar lei, so Rav Yehuda answers, hochi omar shmuel, muter afilu ishtoi imoi. It's muter for him to have his tefillin under his head. Let's assume that it's under his pillow, that it's under... Where he places his head, even if his wife is with him. And the wife with him obviously has connotations of a married couple conducting intimacy. So we have a situation where the tefillin are present under his head, under his pillow, even though his wife is there. Meisvei, we have a Tanaic source which will say to the contrary. Lo yaniach odam tefilov tachas maraglosov mipnei shenoy minach bizoyon. He shall not place the tefillin under his legs, which is considered defaming them. Avol menichon tachas marashosov. He's allowed to place him under his head. Vim hoisi ishto imo. Also, notice we've dashed underlined the key phrase. If his wife is with him, so that would be forbidden. Hoya mokom shigavoa gimel tvochem onomuch gimel tvochem muter. If there is a shelf that's three tvochem above or three tvochem below where he is located, he could place his tefillin there, and it would be all right. Tiufta de Shmuel, Tiufta. This is a repudiation of Shmuel. Omar Rova, and here we have something that you find rarely, but it's here. Afagav de Tanya Tiufta de Shmuel, even though we have a Tanaic source that repudiates Shmuel, Hilchoso Kaposei. The practical halacha will follow Shmuel. My taima, why? Why, after you have a Tanaic source against Shmuel, will you say that we will follow Shmuel, who says that you can have the tefillin under his head, even if ishto imo? The Gemara at the top of Chof Dalet Omet Aleph says, Kol linturinhu tfei odif mi bizyoni. If you have a choice of the defaming of the tefillin, disparaging of the tefillin, versus effective guarding of the tefillin, and they represent opposing considerations, we would rather have increased guarding of the tefillin. And hence, that even though under his head will be more of a bizoyon for the tefillin than if it were off to the side, since by having it under his head, they'll be guarded more closely from rats, from thieves, will go for that more so than concerning ourselves with bizoyon. The Gemara asks, "Vehecha monach lehu?" So where does he place them? Omar Rav Yirmiyah bein kar lekeses shelo keneged roishoy, between the pillow and the mattress, not directly under his head. Vaha Tani Reb Chiya. The Gemara asks, but we have a Tanaic source that says manichon bekoiva tachas mirashosov. The kova usually means a hat, but here it means a pouch. You place it in their pouch, in the tefillin pouch. It says in the source, place it in the tefillin pouch under his head. So this is a kasha on that which was said just before, shelo keneged rosho. The Gemara answers, demapik lei lemursha dekoiva lebar. The kova, as we said, is a pouch. It's a cloth, it's fabric. So the part of the pouch that has the tefillin in it is bulging. That's the mursha de kova, the place in the pouch containing the tefillin. That is placed outside, facing away from directly under his head. So that there is something directly under his head. That's the extension of the pouch is under his head. But the part containing the tefillin is facing outwards. Rashi says on the third line from the Bible, Lemursha dekovah shetfillin nikorin biblitosin. Nikor means there's a visible or obvious biblitosin, that which is protruding or bolate is something that is pushing out, that's protruding or obvious. But bekatzei hakis, at the edge, at the end of the pouch, vahu kemursha, it's like a projection. Continuing in the Gemara, Bar Kapora Sayer Lahu, he would tie up his tefillin bekilsa. Kilsa is a canopy, like a drape or a canopy over a bed, a canopy bed. So he would wrap his tefillin or tie them up in the kilsa, umapik lumursheon lebar, and the part containing the tefillin, the bulging part, would be facing away from the bed. Rav Shisha Breid, Rav Idi, Monach Luhu, A Shar Shifa, Uporis Sudra Olayu. He would place them on a stool and place a cloth over them. Omar Rav Hamnuna, Breid, Rav Yosef, Zimno Chado, Havo Kiimna Kamei de Rava. Rav Hamnuna tells a story that once I was in the presence of Rava, the Omar Li, Rava instructed me, Zil Aisi Li Tfilin, go bring me my Tfilin. The Ashkachtinhu, and I found Rava's tefillin bein kar lekeses shelo keneged rosho, between the pillow and his mattress, at a point that would not have been directly under his head. V'havi yodano d'yom tefila have, and I knew that it was the time that his wife had gone to ritual immersion to purify herself for intimacy with her husband Rava. And ulagmuron halacha lemaisa hu de'avad. And Rava's instruction here, his behavior, telling me to get his tefillin, his kavona was to teach a practical halacha. So we see something it's absolutely fascinating. You have this in different places in the Shas, that people will compromise, will say, their privacy. Here you're dealing with something that we would say is a matter of extreme privacy, but the great Rabbanan will compromise their privacy in order to achieve a better understanding of halacha. And in this case, showing him, demonstrating how he actually behaves would be the best way of communicating this halacha lemaisa teaching. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.